Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
You ever meet someone who seems kind of off? Whether it's a creepy neighbor or random phone number that keeps calling you, Truthfinder has you covered. You can search for people by name, address, phone number, email, and more. Truthfinder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you're planning to meet from online dating apps. Go to truthfinder.com/podcasts for a special offer. That's truthfinder.com/podcasts to access your special offer today.
Welcome to True Crime Garage. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Nick, and with me as always, day drinking responsibly and with a touch of class, he is the captain.
It's better than having a touch of gas, especially in this small studio. It's good to be seen and it's good to see you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling your cousin.
Today we are sipping on a great beer called Beer Drinking is Not a Crime. A big cheers to Andrew and Alexandria for sending us this fantastic beer. And here's Andrew's description of Beer Drinking is Not a Crime. He says you'll find pineapple, orange, and tropical flavors. And it's juicy but with a very nice hop presence and super balanced. Garage grade, 4.5 bottle caps out of 5. And this great beer was brought to us by our good friends. First up we have Laura. In Corpus Christi, Texas.
And a big shout out to Kristen in Osborne, Idaho.
Next up, we have Squirrel and Boom Boom from the Squirrel Hut in Folsom, California.
And a big shout out to Steven and Christina Shepherd.
Next up, here's a big cheers to Anthony, Brittany, and Corey in Canton, Ohio. And last but certainly not least, We have Robin in Berkeley, California. Thank you to everyone for filling up the fridge for today's show. If you want to help us out with next week's show, you just go to our website, truecrimegarage.com, and there's a little donate button there for you.
Yeah, and if you don't have a Band the Van shirt, they're back in stock. And also, the True Crime Garage Plumbing Company shirts, they're a must for any true fan of the show. And that's enough of the business.
All right, Captain, everybody gather around, grab a chair, grab a beer. Let's talk some true crime.
So at this point, you have not talked to Tyler since 4:10 a.m. You've been searching. It's now past daylight. It's 10:30 in the morning. You don't know what to do, and it's serious, and you need to call Tyler's parents.
I'm not trying to warn anybody. Like, that was the one thing that I was terrified to do. I was like, I can't call his mom. I can't. Like, I cannot call her and tell her this. Like, we have to go find him first, and... You know, like, he's going to be so mad. Him and his parents are so close, and, like, he's going to be so mad if I call his mom right now. And Adam's, like, running. He was like, you have to check out of here in an hour and a half. He's like, then where are you going to go? Then what are we going to do? So I sat down, and I called Rhonda, and I was like, this is a situation. I don't know what to do. And she was like, okay, calm down. I'm sure everything's fine, you know. And at this point, I had already called Franklin County Jail. I'd already called all the hospitals. I had already called, you know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking all options. Maybe he got a public intox. Maybe he's in jail somewhere. You know what I mean? Maybe he hurt himself and somebody took him to the hospital. I'm, like, looking at any of these different things to try to, I don't know, like, make some sense of this, really. So, I tell Rhonda, and she's like, okay, you know, don't freak out yet. You know, she asked me if I had called all the jails and asked me if I'd call hospitals and all that stuff. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, okay, well, Kevin's on his way. He's on his way right now, and we're going to figure it out. And I was like, okay. So it took Kevin probably about 45 minutes to get there. So after I got off the phone with her, Adam's like, well, let's go drive around again. Let's go see if we can see something else. You know, there's another street that I wanted to look at or something. I don't know. So we get back in the car, and me and Adam drive around again. So Kevin gets there, and, you know, he's like, what happened? Like, what did you guys do? Blah, blah, blah. I told him everything, you know, the story. And he was like, okay. And he was like, I'm going to go find him. I need to start walking. And I was like, okay. And this man literally probably walked 30 miles. He didn't leave till it was dark. He went through every single patch of those woods on foot that day by himself.
So now that you contacted his parents, when do you contact the police?
So, yeah. So Rhonda calls me right after Kevin gets there. And she's like, Brittany, it's like we're not the violent missing persons report right now. And I was like, no, like, I'm sure he's going to choose, like, Brittany. And it was just, like, right when she told me that, I got really real, really. Like, I knew it was real because I was already, like, sick worried. But then that was just, like, a whole other level. You know what I mean? Like, I was just already terrified. And now I have to, like.
So when did you call them?
I called them around, I don't know, like, 11:30. They actually weren't even there until 12:30. I met them in the parking lot of the Hilton, and I gave the officer I told him everything. I said, this is what he was wearing. This is what, last time I seen him, last time I talked to him. And literally the first thing this man says to me is, well, you know, your husband, he's not elderly and he's not a minor. So as far as I'm concerned, a 29-year-old man can leave on his own accord.
Well, technically that's the law.
Yeah, no, it is the law, but it's like, I feel like, and even since I've been going through this, there are so many, when it comes to missing people, it is such like a broad area. Like there's not really a place to start. Like they literally are like, well, 72 hours, we'll let you know, type deal thing. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Well, in the missing persons unit, there's 8 detectives. They did roughly 8,000 cases last year. So they're kind of crunched for time anyways. And I think anytime that it is an adult that goes missing, they have to start with the idea that they could have went missing because they wanted to.
Right. Well, and you know, I understand people that hear my story and people that see this, they're like, half of them are like, oh, he probably just walked away. And I can put this on my whole, like, I know that man so well. He's literally my best friend. Like, we were really good friends before we ever even got together. You know what I mean? Like, I know everything about him, seriously everything. And I know he wouldn't just, like, if Tyler didn't want to be with me, okay, he would tell me that. He doesn't play games. He's not childish. Like, he's a very, very blunt person. He's very upfront. He loves his son more than anything in the whole world. He literally named my son after a freaking football quarterback. Like, I'm being dead serious. Him and his mom are so close. I've never seen a relationship between, like, a son and a mother like that before in my life.
So even if he left you and didn't tell you, he would still be contacting his mother.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Like, you take me and my son, like, you take us completely out of this equation, he would not do this to his mom or his dad, but not his mom. Not his mom. Not his family. Like, not his friends. He's a really, like, he, with his job alone, he has so many responsibilities. He would never miss a day of work. I'm talking, like, he has never missed a day of work.
How was the first conversation with law enforcement?
It was not good. I filed a police report. He had, like, got it in the system around, like, 1 p.m. And, you know, me and Adam, we still drove around and we were looking in all these places. And we'd met up with Kevin a couple times. And it was about 5. And Kevin's like, Brittany, I think you need to go get Aaron. I think you need to go back to the house and get Aaron. And I was like, I can't leave him up here by himself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't leave him. But I had to, like, I needed to go get my son. And so I did. So Adam took me back to my in-law's house in Circleville. I had literally just got there. So this is probably around like 5, 6 o'clock. And the detective called me, and I mean, he wasn't very nice. But at the same time, it's like, I understand that your job is not to be nice to me. You know what I mean? Like, your job is to find my husband. That's what your duty is. It's not to call me 27 times a day to tell me what you've heard and what you haven't heard. It's not to, you know what I mean? Like, your job is to find my husband. So, but the first, now I know this, like, literally, like, 46 days later, I know this, but that day when he called me, this is like super new. Like, I didn't go to sleep. I still hadn't been in bed at this time.
Have you been trying to call Tyler's phone?
Oh, yeah. I was calling it all day. All day.
The cops did a pretty extensive search from what I've heard. When did that search take place?
So technically, he went missing on the 24th. They didn't do their first search until Tuesday. They're telling me they've been doing everything.
Yeah, and when I talked to detectives, they explained to me the search, and it seemed very extensive. They also pulled a lot of security footage from the mall.
Yeah, so the first day, so this was Monday, and I'll tell you again, I didn't go to bed until Tuesday. I didn't go to sleep until Tuesday. Sunday night after I actually got back to Rhonda, that night I put Erin to bed, and I told her, I asked her if it was okay for me to leave, if she would mind, like, Erin was asleep, and she was completely fine with it. And me and a couple of Tyler's friends, we went back up East End, and we searched all those woods by ourselves. And this was before, so this was like Sunday night, going into early hours of Monday. So we were there.
Who went with you guys?
It was me, Alex, and Nick. And these are just, you know, friends of ours. So we got there probably around 1 in the morning. And we just started searching. Like, we went everywhere. I'm talking, like, we didn't leave there until... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was me, Alex, and Nick. And then... two of Tyler's employees actually met us up there as well, two younger kids that work for him. As soon as we got there, I went directly to the Hilton. I spoke with the night manager. I let him know the situation, showed him a picture of my husband, you know, talked to him for a minute, and he was like, yeah, let me see if I can start pulling footage. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I really appreciate it. Then we walked down to Easton Security. I let them know the situation. I talked to them. I told them, you know, I'm going to be out here tonight. I just want you to know, like, these are my two friends. Like, we're going to go and we're going to search to see if we can. And they were completely cool with it. They were like, yeah, totally, go ahead. Again, it's also like 1 a.m., so nobody's there. And, you know, we go out there and we're there for hours. And when I went and talked to Easton Security, there was actually an officer for CPD in the area. And he was super nice. He came up to me. You know, he told me, he's like, I just got on shift. He was like, I just learned about your husband, and we're still trying to get everything together. He was like, don't think we haven't started yet. He was like, but we literally just got the report. We just got the report like 12 hours ago. It's pretty much what he was saying. And I was like, okay, well, I'm here. So I'm looking. That's what I'm doing. And in the Easton Security office, they told me they had already started pulling footage, and that they saw Tyler walking back to the hotel at 4:15. They saw him walking to the hotel at 4:15, which to me made perfect sense, because if we're on the phone at 4:10 and he says, I'll be there in a couple minutes, you know, I see the hotel, I'm walking. And they said they had him on camera walking towards the Hilton. That's what they told me. Come to find out, it wasn't Tyler. It was like Tyler and his friend, they have the same body type, like same size, the same height, you know what I mean? Like, and apparently with the way those cameras work at nighttime, I guess they're not the most perfect vision, so they assume that it was Tyler. and it wasn't.
But it was his friend. But how could it be his friend when at the time of that call or at that moment he's leaving or with you?
That's what I didn't understand, because when Tyler had called me around 4:10, you know, he was right beside me. And then I realized that when me and Sheree got off the phone, we both kind of like, but we didn't like walk up the street. Like we walked to, do you know the Easton area very well?
Yeah.
Okay. So like we walked, like if we were staying on the corner around from the Hilton, we walked to the left and we both were kind of like on that main strip and we both like walked down the street, but like he did one side and I did the other side. Like, I'm sorry. We were both on the same side of the street, but he went one direction and I went the other direction. And so I don't know if that was then, you know, because when we were like, he could have been turning around. It could have been that time. Because we were, it's not like we both went out and like, were like searching. It was kind of like, we were just like walking down to see if we might see him somewhere.
Well, there's tons of shops around there and there's tons of cameras. It's surprising that he's not picked up on any of the footage anywhere. So back to the search that night.
So we go and we search a bunch of stuff. We don't stop until it was daylight. It was like 7 or 8 in the morning. And we're trying to, like at this point, like me and Nick and Alex and the other two, we're just trying to like, okay, trying to like pretty much think like Tyler thinks. I don't know, it probably sounds stupid, but we're like, okay, if he said that he's walking out of the woods and he sees the Hilton, we went to every single patch of woods and like to like around to see, like if you could see the Hilton from this patch of woods, we searched it.
Well, and Tyler doesn't know this area. He's been drinking. He's exhausted. So is it, it's possible that he's not even looking at the correct hotel.
Right, exactly. Like he's looking at the wrong place, and that's something we also considered. So there is a, I think it's a Marriott, a little bit down from, it's like on the other side of the actual town center, like the shopping center. And it looks like they're all made by like all these hotels in the area. It's the same company that owns them. It looks just like the Hilton. It's a little smaller, but it looks just like the Hilton. Puts out the same amount of light at nighttime. So we went around there as well.
So you guys are searching everywhere. You don't know when the cops are going to search or if they're going to search. But they end up searching on that Tuesday, and then they contact you after.
They called me and pretty much said, I just want to let you know that we searched the ponds behind Costco, and we've been working on pinging his phone, and we pinged his phone around Costco. But I guess what it was is, like, I mistook it because there's a cell tower back there. And if you ping a phone, it automatically goes to, like, that cell phone tower, but that radius is like 2 miles. So his phone could be anywhere in that 2 miles. It doesn't necessarily have to be like at the tower.
So they subpoenaed his phone records?
They subpoenaed his phone records. Oh, like they still don't have them. And it's like over a month ago. It was like all the beginning of March.
Have they subpoenaed your phone records yet?
Not that I know of. But I mean, I've been more than welcome to, like, you know, here's my cell phone. You can look through it, do whatever you need to do to it type deal thing.
Have you thought about taking screenshots of your call log?
I went to, like, my, because I have Verizon, so I got on, like, my Verizon, and we did this with Tyler, because Tyler is on a phone plan with his parents, and I'm on one with mine. So I literally got on mine, and I took a picture of my call log, and I sent it to the detectives, and then I did the same thing for Tyler. So I was like, this is, like, I know it's not everything you need, but this is what I can give you as of right now. This was like Monday, I think.
Right.
Monday or Tuesday that I got that to them.
And law enforcement during the search, were they were using dogs. They searched the woods. Did they search the ponds?
Search the ponds. I guess they have dogs out, and they said that the dogs actually hit on one of the ponds. So they drug it completely. They did sonar. They had like a dive team. And there was nothing in there. And then they actually searched that same pond again. Like, the ponds in that area have been searched multiple times. They have had multiple different searches, like grid searches and different. I know there are like wooded areas there, and since he did say like woods on the phone the last time, they've been pushing towards the woods more, you know, like when they do search, which is understandable, and they just don't have, it's like there's like, it's like there's literally nothing there. Like there's no, like not a shoe, not a wallet, not literally nothing at all.
And Tyler doesn't have a transportation app like Uber on his phone that you know of?
That I know of, no.
Do you guys share social media accounts, or do you have access to Tyler's social media accounts?
We don't share any, no. We do not share any. I don't have access. I mean, I think I know what his password is, but I was told not to try it type deal thing. I think that the detectives are actually like looking into his Facebook and stuff. But as far, like, I know he has, like, a Snapchat. I don't know what his password to that is. I know, like, the password to his Gmail, and I had actually contacted the detectives to make sure that I could continuously check his Gmail, because, like, our friend that was with us that night, he's super, like, techie, and he's, like, told me, like, a lot of things about, like, apparently if you have a Galaxy, you can, and, like, you're signed up with Gmail. Like, Gmail, like, literally tracks your phone. Yeah. And that was something that was the detectives also ended up finding, and that caught him down by Abbott Lab. And then that's why they did another search on, I think that was the south part of Easton.
Right. So they get a hit at Abbott Labs. That's pretty far from Easton, walking wise.
If I'm correct, I think it's about half a mile. And that's where it stopped.
Do you have access to his financial records?
Oh, yeah. So I basically, like, it's just flagged. And we have a lady at the bank who just checks on it constantly. And, like, anytime there's any type of notice that comes on there, like, she literally calls me to tell me that my Netflix came out, like, type stuff. You know what I mean? Like, anything that pops up on there.
But there hasn't been any activity from Tyler.
Like, nothing.
This is just weird hearing this from Brittany's perspective, hearing it directly from somebody that was there, somebody that was searching for their loved one, for, you know, as she says, her best friend. The weight to this story, it's just got a certain heaviness to it that's really like got my head spinning right now, Captain. I'm kind of like questioning a lot of different things here. I'm trying to think through a lot of things as I visualize the story as she tells it. One thing that I was thinking about along the way is kind of going back to their night out. They go out around 8:30, and she was very detailed in their timeline and what they were doing. And then he goes missing. I'm calling it 4:10, 4:11 a.m. is when he goes missing. That seems to be when he's truly unaccounted for and communication drops off.
Yeah, but you wonder, the call before at 3:37, is he lost and he just doesn't know it yet?
Right. And how far could he be from the actual hotel? The thing is, and I know this is kind of really out of the box and very likely not super important, but she keeps talking about how exhausted he would have been, or she thinks that he is,
right,
the last time she sees him. I didn't hear any mention of, you know, we had food at this place. You know, I'm factoring all these things in, how tired this guy could be, how drunk Tyler may have been. One, just disoriented from waking up in an Uber, and now you're in front of your hotel in an area that you do not know well, you know? And so I'm factoring in all these things here. He's not super, you know, he's not super equipped or dressed well for that temperature at that hour. Well, there's a lot of things factoring into the thought that I have a hard time believing that if he were on foot, I don't know how far he would have made it until he would have just hit the wall to be completely exhausted.
Right. This is an area that has had its ups and downs as far as reputation. So the more he travels, the more likely he is to run into somebody. But this makes it very unique in this case, because she has the records of when they paid for things and roughly what the bill was. Mm-hmm. So when she's saying, I think he had three drinks, that's based off of also looking at the bill and just knowing the total.
Right.
And going, well, I had a couple, so he must have had a few. And most missing person cases, take Brian Schaefer's, for example. We don't know how much he drank. We don't know what he drank. Mm-hmm. We don't have a clue. With Mara Murray, we don't know if she was drinking or not. I mean, this, we have detailed accounts of what he was doing hours before he went missing.
Yeah, and the thing, though, too, is, you know, and this is why they say, hey, obviously, don't drink and drive. Don't drive drunk. But, you know, there's also that big movement, and has been for years, about don't do buzzed driving either. Mm-hmm. And I think all that's very important to keep in mind when we try to analyze this stuff from the outside looking in. When you talk about alcohol, I know my personal experience with drinking is it's, you can't always figure out how intoxicated you might be in one specific setting. I know there are times where I'll have two or three drinks and I'm sober as a judge. There's other times I'll have two or three drinks and I feel like I've been drinking all night. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors that go into that. Exhaustion. How much have you ate? What have you been doing that day? And I just kind of keep going back to the thought and the feeling that I feel like this guy, I feel like Tyler got disoriented. I feel like he's in a place that he doesn't know very well. And at some point, I just picture him, you know, thinking he is in a certain location, getting slightly turned around and going, I know it's right up here. I'll just keep walking this way. And then we've done this before. Everybody out there has done this before, where you get a little bit turned around in an unfamiliar area. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you've walked quite a distance away from where you thought you were going or where you were trying to get to. And regarding that Abbott Foods, Abbott Nutrition is actually what I think she called it, Abbott Labs.
Right.
But there is an area, there's a building and a business over there. I think it could be a distribution center or like their home office, but there's a place called Abbott Nutrition that is over there. And that would be 1.1 miles from the Hilton. And at that location, it's, if he made it there on foot, that's a difficult location. That would be about 20 to 25 minutes of walking distance, depending on, that's according to my phone. All right. I was looking that up, but in that area, there are plenty of buildings in that area that are not hotels that one might think in a disoriented state that they see it and go, yeah, I'm right by the hotel. Yeah, I'm very close to the hotel. I can see it from here, and I'll be there shortly.
Right.
And it's, I just see the situation of this guy maybe getting further and further of where he wanted to be. And I'm, by this point in the story, I'm terribly fearful of what could have happened to him after he got a good distance from that hotel.
Well, and let's be very clear, because it was misreported in one of the interviews Brittany gave. The report states that he called at 4:10 and said, I see the hotel and I'll be there shortly and I'm sorry. And it's reported that she said that he sounded confused.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what she said at all. She actually thought he sounded pretty coherent on the phone call.
Okay.
What she was saying in that interview was, when he got out of the car, when he got out of the Uber, when they got back to the hotel, she thought he seemed a little confused. And rightfully so. He just fell asleep and woke up. And maybe he was confused because he was like, wait, Hilton, are we staying here? I thought we're staying somewhere else.
Right.
I mean, who knows? They just checked in a couple hours ago. It's not a place that they go frequent. So let's be very clear that she didn't think he was confused on the phone call. She thought he was confused getting out of the Uber car.
And one thing that I think is missing from her story, and what I feel like is it's a part of the story that she likely just does not know. But the one part that I kind of question here, Captain, is I know it's only like, what she say, 3:18 when the Uber pulls up, and by 3:37, he's kind of missing and there's a phone call.
Right.
Okay, so we have less than 20 minutes takes place. So not a very large window of time, but it also seems to me like she doesn't fully know exactly when Tyler and his friend got separated, or where the friend left or went in a different direction than Tyler.
Well, right, because one, she went back up to the hotel room, charged her phone, but also she's been drinking at this point and quite a bit. I mean, she said she had 3 drinks at one place and a few drinks at another place. So there's a lot of question marks here.
The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Everyone is still talking about Monopoly Go, for a good reason. It is an absolute hit. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Like countless crazy tournaments, you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Or timed events, offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums. Delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches. Unique playing pieces and so much more. The verdict is in. With Monopoly Go, there's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now free on the App Store and Google Play.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Of course you do. That's why you need to check out IXL Learning today. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. It's powered by advanced algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. There's one site for all kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids could use it at home on their computer or on an app on your phone or a tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything for you. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. I love recommending IXL Learning. Kids can learn at home or on the go. And all my friends and family that are using it absolutely love it because it's so easy to set up and so easy to use. And even the kids that I've recommended it to their parents have told me, "Hey, Captain, thank you. I was having problems in math and my parents couldn't help me, but IXL could." Do you want to get your kids back on track, or do you just want to get your kids ahead? Do so with IXL Learning. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And True Crime Garage listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/garage. Visit IXL.com/garage to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Check out IXL.com/garage today.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Save a lot of money with Mint Mobile. Get their great mobile wireless service delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. That's premium service at a great price. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TCG. That's mintmobile.com/TCG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TCG. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Make your day delicious, from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. I am new to Factor, and I have been loving every minute of it. I have a problem, and it's called lunch. Some days I need a pack of lunch, and some days I work from home. Whether I'm at home or whether I'm on the go, Factor is fueling my lunch from now on. Head to factormeals.com/truecrimegarage50 and use code truecrimegarage50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. That's code TrueCrimeGarage50 at factormeals.com/TrueCrimeGarage50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
So since that search on that Tuesday, what's been happening with the investigation?
Thursday, on February 28th, one of the detectives called me asking me to meet two detectives at me and Tyler's house because they wanted to get into our Wi-Fi router to try to establish an iMac ID. Apparently, it can trace the phone even if it's dead or get a better location of the cell phone at any time. But the thing about doing that is that if you're hooked up to your Wi-Fi router, it has like an expiration date if you're gone. So if we leave on a Saturday, it's only going to be in there for like 4 or 5 days. And they literally got here like one day too late to get this number out of my router. So the next day, Friday, they weren't able to retrieve the router. So they called me again and they said, we need Tyler's box for a cell phone. Like, what? We need the box. And I save everything. I knew it was in here somewhere. So I came back and I like dug through my whole house and I found like three until I realized that Tyler's current phone that he has is actually a refurbished phone that he got a couple months ago, and that didn't come in a box. They like sent it to us in bubble wrap. You know, and then that Friday I just stopped because, like I said, we're from Wilmington. There's like three different law enforcement agencies in this town. There's like a city's office, sheriff department, police department. I let them all know the situation, and I was like, really, I've been really like on edge also because the night that we went out, I didn't take my purse. So I gave Tyler my ID to hold his wallet. So my ID is in there.
So what do you think was on Tyler at the time he went missing? Cigarettes, lighter?
He had cigarettes. He had a lighter. He had on his wedding ring. He had his wallet.
And also your credit card and your ID?
He didn't have my bank card. He just had like the bank card. Well, because like his bank account is our bank account. It's got like the most money in it, but like the one with all of our, you know, just money. He's got the credit card. He's got my ID. He's got his ID.
So back to the night that he goes missing. You know, you said that you went up to the hotel, so he's out of sight. His friend's out of sight. Is there any way that while you're not there, there was a confrontation between the two?
No.
When his friend came back without Tyler, how was he acting? Was he acting funny?
No, he didn't. Well, and that's the thing, because obviously the situation is super crazy and people are going to look at me and they're going to look at our friend just because of the situation. But they're not confrontational people. You know what I mean? Like, they don't, like, even raise their voice, really. They just don't I've never seen any of them, like, again, I don't know his friend as well as he does, but I've never even seen Tyler get into any type of, like, disagreement or, like, fight, you know what I mean? They've known each other for 10-plus years. They went to college together. They're really good friends. Tyler talks to him every day. They play a lot of online video games together. Like, he literally helped design my wedding ring. They've always been really close. You know, he's come over to our house multiple times. I don't think that it was that he had any part in. I think it just was really a wrong time, this wrong situation. And at that time, like when we were doing it, like when all this was happening, obviously we didn't think it would be over a month, and we still wouldn't, like, we didn't think that was going to be the last time we saw him.
Well, and like we said, we're not saying the friend's name, but because you guys were the last to see him, there is going to be some suspicious. And you're putting out this information. Are you getting any backlash or harassment online?
It's been really bad because I wasn't even able to get it out there until like March 13th, you know, and by this point we had already went and we had passed out over 2,000 flyers. We had went to so many different places, and it's just, there were so many people that are asking for story. Like, I always tell the same story, but it's like, it doesn't matter what I tell the news or the media. It's like, however the hell they want to spin it, which isn't fair because I've talked to like three or four different people, and three or four different media pages have three or four different stories. So everybody looks at me like, why aren't you telling the full? And I'm like, I am telling the full. I am not writing these articles. Like, I'm not telling. I'm just trying to tell everybody what happened. Like, I'm trying to be honest. I'm doing everything and anything I can to get my husband home.
And while you're searching for clues and talking with the police, how has this been on you?
It's been awful on so many levels. Like, Tyler is my best friend. And it sucks really bad when you're with somebody for so long and like you get into a routine, you know what I mean? Like, you're used to coming home and then being there. Like, you're used to them coming home to you every day. And it's just like awful because we have a really young son who asks for him every day. And he, for the first like week and a half, he literally woke up every night at the time Tyler's supposed to get off working and sit there and he would ask for his dad. And he'd be like, dad, for hours. Last night, he literally brought me, Aaron has like an old PlayStation controller that Tyler gave him that's broke, and he would always sit there with Tyler while he would play his games, and Aaron would have his little controller, and he like brought me his controller, and he was like, dad, like, it's really hard because he's so young, and it's not like I can explain any of this to him. And then I go from being like a stay-at-home mom and a stay-at-home wife to, it's just me. So, like, I am a single parent. I'm trying to be an advocate for my husband, and I'm trying to, like, get your story as public as I possibly can. And I'm trying to figure out, I've never had to pay all the bills before by myself. Like, I literally, this, like, last month was the first time I ever paid any of the bills. Like, I actually sat down. Like, I had things that I was responsible for, but I never sat down and paid the rent. You know what I mean? Like, he did all of that, and it's just, it's been a learning process. It's been really hard.
Yeah, and it just doesn't make any sense for somebody to up and vanish.
No, and that's the thing. And I'm like trying so hard to like let people know because I understand, like from the outside looking in, if I was just somebody that scrolled by and read the story, I'd be like, that's not right. Like, something's wrong. Like, you know what I mean? But he's not the type of person. He is a very responsible person. Like, he knows his responsibilities. Like, he has always been such a wonderful husband. Like, I am spoiled. His Aaron gets anything and everything. Like, he's just a really good dad. my kid's not even two, and he knows, there's like, he knows how to spell words. Like, there's words that he knows how to spell. Tyler has literally taught him so much stuff, and it just makes me feel like a bad mom, because I genuinely feel like he, like, out of the two of us, like, he is a better parent. Like, he spends so much time with our son, and you can tell that he genuinely, like, enjoys to play with him for hours. Like, I'm not talking about somebody who gets down and, like, throws a ball with her kid for 15 minutes. Like, this is somebody who spends all of his time that he can with Aaron, and he loves every minute of it. Like, he's always told me he wanted to be a dad. He was so excited when he found out that Aaron was going to be a boy. He literally named my son after the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Like, it's just, I can't explain anything. I can't explain this stuff to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, you hear the story, but they don't know me. Like, they don't know my husband. Like, they don't know the type of life that we live. You know, it's like, we're not very exciting people. We don't go out and do stuff ever. And it just, it sucks to try to constantly, like, defend yourself and, like, defend everybody. And because you know that's not what happened.
Now, has Tyler's friend been cooperative with everybody?
Definitely. He's, you know, he's checked on me and Aaron multiple times. You know, we've been passing out flyers. Like, I've had a lot of help from all of our friends and all of our family, just, like, helping pass out flyers. We actually just did another round on, what is today? We were on Saturday. So on Saturday we did, like, another 1,000 flyers, and he's actually the closest one, you know, because he lives in Columbus. So there have been multiple times where I've called him, like, hey, I need you to go here. I've had a lot of people, like, donate flyers and stuff, or, you know, stuff that he can do during the week, such as, like, there's a lot of homeless shelters in the area, and we've hit all of them, but a lot of them have really weird hours, and he's super cool about dropping off flyers at all of them. And then that one day we found that stuff out about Abbott Labs, and he left work immediately as soon as we found out and went directly there to just see what it was like and what it looked like type stuff.
In a lot of missing person cases, we don't have identifiers on somebody's body to identify them quickly. But with Tyler, he has kind of a unique birthmark.
Okay, yeah. So Tyler has a really big birthmark on his right arm. It actually goes, it starts at the tip, like it starts on his hand, on his right hand, on his fingers, and it goes all the way up his arm, goes up to his shoulder, it goes to the top right of his chest, and the top right of his back as well. So it's very large, and it's red. So when he's this cold, it, like, changes to purple, like, it changes colors, but it's very, very noticeable. So even if, like, you would, if you had to cover that up, you would have to wear, like, gloves, a long sleeve shirt, and, like, something around his neck.
So what do you think happened to Tyler?
What do I think happened?
If you had to guess.
I mean, it's just, this whole situation is just, it's really, really crazy to me. I really think, my personal opinion, I think somebody took him. There have been, Ohio is, like, number four in human trafficking. There have been, like, five other men that went missing in Columbus around the same age as Tyler in the past, like, month, which blows my mind, because it's like, you don't see any of this stuff in the media. It's like, I was asking one of the detectives, and he said something about, like, inducing panic. He was like, well, we don't want to induce panic. I'm like, we should be inducing panic. Like, people are literally getting taken, and I don't know why it's, like, all of a sudden. I think I'm just now really noticing it because I'm in this situation. But there are people that literally go missing every single day.
If you could say something to Tyler right now and knew that he could hear you, what would you say to him?
I would tell him that I'm not ever giving up. Ever. Nobody can stop me. Try to find him, and I will find you. I really will find you, and I don't know what kind of situation you're in, but I need you to get out of it, and I need you to be safe, and I need you to get home. And I miss you so much, and I'm just trying so hard to get you home. I miss my best friend, and My son is his dad.
Again, we're very appreciative of Brittany Davidson, her giving us a chance to talk with her and spread the word about her husband, Tyler Davis.
And again, if you have any information regarding the missing persons case of Tyler Davis, please contact the Columbus Police Department at 614-645-4545.
Or contact the Brain Tyler Holm Facebook group on Facebook.
And here's a little recommended reading for everybody out there. Please check out the book Anatomy of a False Confession, The Interrogation and Conviction of Brendan Dassey. And you don't have to write that title down. You can find that and all of our recommendations at truecrimegarage.com on the recommended page.
Make sure you check out our old episodes on the Stitcher app and our show Off the Record on Stitcher Premium. Until next week,
be good, be kind, and don't litter. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, I highly recommend that you give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/garage today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/garage. This show is proudly sponsored by BetterHelp. Check out BetterHelp.com/garage today.